So pray with me. Heavenly Father, we pray your hand of blessing upon Tom. He hasn't been doing well the last month or so, been dealing with some serious medical issues. So, Lord, we pray your protection and grace upon him. We pray, Lord, that you just lift him up and allow him to see the doctors that he needs to see, Lord, that they can help him. But we do pray your hand of blessing and healing over him. So, Lord, let that be our prayer right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Said before, 2025, the first Sunday of a new year. How many of you made a New Year's resolution? How many of you have broken it already? I didn't make a New Year's resolution. What I did do was I asked God for a desire of my heart for this coming year. And in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The desire of my heart for this year is building my faith and diligently seeking the Lord. Let us go to the throne room of God in prayer. I ask you to stand with me, out of reverence to our God. But before we pray, let us read together this passage. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. Taken from 1 Timothy. Yes, you may be seated. Well, let's pray first, sorry. Up, down, sorry. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we pray, Lord, that our hearts and our minds are knit together today. And Lord, that you need to shine through. Lord, we need to realize that you are God. And that you hold all things in your hands. You have knit our whole existence together. And Lord, we are so thankful that you have blessed us with salvation. We were outside of the commonwealth of Israel. We were without hope. But now, because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, we have hope. So, Lord, we just ask your blessing. Allow me to speak the words that you want me to speak, Lord. And in no way, Lord, I want to corrupt your scripture. So bless, Lord, as only you can bless, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. For a good part of my working career, I worked for the highways contractors in the Creston area. And one of my jobs with them was bridge maintenance, where we would clean, inspect, and repair as needed. One such bridge we worked on was the Kootenai River Bridge. It's gone. Trevor, where's my bridge? That bridge. Thank you. A massive structure consisting of concrete bridge decks formed and anchored to I-beams that stretched from both ends to meet in the middle, where they are cradled in saddles that rest on bearing kits that allow movement back and forth. Those whole driving decks move when you travel across them. The overhead arches, which are such an iconic picture of our valley, all of which come to rest and anchor to one massive concrete pillar dead center. I can most likely say with confidence that everyone in this building has driven across that bridge. Some maybe once, some maybe once a day. So what does this bridge have to do with pleasing God? Hebrews 11:1 states how faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you are traveling across the flats at the posted speed, of course, nobody speeds here, and you approach that Kootenai River Bridge, do you lock up the brakes and come to a stop wondering or questioning if the architect's design included enough bolts, enough steel, the right MPA concrete? Should he have designed more pillars under it? Or maybe you just might say, I better look for a detour around this bridge. Of course you don't. You don't even take your foot off the throttle. You have just naturally placed your faith in that bridge. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And without thinking, your faith in that bridge just automatically gave you hope to get to the other side. Second part of that verse says, and the evidence of things not seen. Did you stop and check the pillar in the middle of the bridge? No, you did not. You didn't have to, because you can see the evidence there. The arches are still standing strong. The bridge is straight and level. It has a nice crown to it. In Matthew chapter 7, there's a passage here. And it says, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, enter you in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And Jesus is speaking here to his disciples. At the age of 13, God opened that straight gate and allowed me to enter in. Why? Because I placed my faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He, and he alone, set me on a narrow way to life. As I grow in the Lord and study his word, I have come to realize the narrow way is held up by God's pillars. And today, I want to examine just one of God's pillars. And that's the pillar of forever. There is no way I can totally look at every aspect of this pillar, but we will see through God's word some of the major components of this pillar. And we have to go right to the beginning in Genesis, where it begins. Genesis chapter 13. I'll give you a minute to find it. Genesis chapter 13. And I'll be reading starting at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. God has deeded this land to Abram and his seed forever. Israel is not gone, and God is not done with Israel. So why is this passage important to us? Turn back one chapter to chapter 12. And I'll read from 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee and make thy seed great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That explains why. All the families of the earth shall be blessed to the bloodline of Abram, which become Abraham, comes the Messiah, our Savior and our Redeemer. These portions of Scripture are definitely part of the design of God's pillar of forever. This was predetermined before the world even began. Next, I want to move ahead into the book of Psalms. And if you want to turn with me to Psalms 136. I hear pages, so I'll wait. All right, Psalms 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. 26 times the psalmist writes, his mercy endureth forever. When God repeats himself this many times, we need to realize the seriousness of it. For his mercy, not receiving what we deserve for our sin debt. What would be the penalty for our sin debt if we never allowed God to impute his mercy to our account? And I'm going to take from Revelation 20. I'm not going to turn to it. But it says, Revelation 20, starting around verse 11, it tells us about the great white throne judgment for the unsaved, the unbeliever, those that have never allowed God to impute his mercy to our account. It says that their names were not in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they will be cast into the lake of fire. That's the penalty of our sin debt if we don't allow the mercy to be applied. Secondly, with this, for his mercy endureth, which means to continue in the same state and to last. And it truly shows us the seriousness with this. It truly shows us the seriousness of God when he adds, forever. His mercy endureth forever. Not just this present time, but for all eternity. Never again will we as believers, the born again ones, the new creatures in Christ, ever have to worry about our punishment for our sin debt. The price was paid. So we as the born again ones can make application from how Psalms 23 ends when it says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a promise from God. And the unsaved will dwell in the lake of fire forever. Yes. God's mercy plays a tremendous role in this pillar of forever. As we continue with God's pillar, we can feel it rising up. We can feel it growing in strength and structure. I want to look at the architect's blueprints for the inner strength and load carrying capacity, starting with that pillar in the middle of that bridge. The blueprints show a rebar skeleton knit together in a framework entombed in concrete that would cure to come to withstand pressure and stress from all angles. But God's pillars, inner strength, and load carrying capacity comes from the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. His sacrifice and his sacrifice alone. Hebrews 10. We'll go to Hebrews 10 now. Hebrews 10, and we'll start at verse 12. But this man, speaking of Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. The Lord Jesus Christ had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Never again will there ever be another sacrifice needed or required, or a new pardon written for us. When Jesus said from the cross, "It is finished," he validated it by sitting down on the right hand of God the Father. The design was perfect. Satan and death were conquered. Salvation was complete. His blood became the load-carrying element in God's pillar of forever. In the same chapter of Hebrews 10, and I'm going to start at 12 again, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Sanctified, set apart, declared holy, declared free from all sin, purified. God hath perfected forever. It does not say God will, it says God has. What a promise we have. God's word tells us that he has declares that I am perfected forever. God has declared me holy. God has declared me free from sin. God has purified me forever. Why can I stand here with such assurance that God has done this for me? Because I placed my faith in that one sacrifice for sins forever that only Jesus could make. So with full assurance, the narrow way that leads to life has become my road. Can you say that? These verses from Hebrews 10 give you the assurance of your salvation, give you the comfort, the hope, the belief that he has placed you in the cradle of his pillar. Just as the I-beams are cradled in the pillar of concrete. So after presenting this, all this assurance of our salvation, as I presented this, why is it that when it comes to God's word, we lock up the brakes and start questioning the architect's design? We have moments of doubt, and we start looking for detours around his word. Sometimes we add to it, and sometimes we take away from it, trying to make it line up with our opinions. Allow me a few moments to give my thoughts why these thoughts arise. When I was working on this bridge pillar, I took my focus off the work at hand and started staring down at the river flowing past the pillar on either side. As I stared down, my brain started trying to comprehend the distance between me and the river. It was probably about 30 feet. Tried to comprehend the movement of the water. There was a wind blowing, and all these factors started to mesmerize me. It almost became hypnotic. I began to lose my equilibrium. And trust me, when you're working on a bridge, you losing your equilibrium is not a good thing. I had to quickly readjust my focus back on the pillar. This, I believe, applies to us as Christians when we take our focus off of the Lord Jesus and His Word and start to focus on the things of the world around us. We slowly become mesmerized. So many things can take our thoughts off the Lord, whether it be health issues, financial issues, family problems, or maybe sin has crept into the camp. Our work can take our thoughts off the Lord as well. And all this can lead us to a hypnotic state where we lose our equilibrium. Thus, we stumble, we backslide, we have doubts. On the bridge when I worked on it, we had safety lines, fall restraint, barricades. As well, we had a man in a boat below us in the river. Do we as Christians offer the same safety precautions to fellow Christians that stumble and fall? Or do we just walk on by and think it's someone else's job to rescue them? As we walk this narrow way, we have to remember that any one of us can stumble or fall at any time. I'm taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." I believe that we all need to carry a safety line, either to toss it to someone that has fallen or toss it to someone because we have fallen. There's times I feel that when we as Christians fall, we keep it private. We don't want anyone else to know. But we need help. We need help from one another. We need prayers. We need support. We do not need to go into a cave and hide ourselves until we figure out our problems. We need to remember that God is still on the throne, that God's pillar is complete, strong, steadfast, and it's forever. There will come a day when the pillar of concrete will need to be replaced. One final part I want to add to this message comes from Revelation 22. Revelations 22, starting at verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded their fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Jesus speaking here, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecies of this book. Just as the architect that designed the Kootenai River Bridge gave his final inspection and stamp of approval, from these verses we have the final stamp of approval by the throne of God and by the Lamb that they will be the light and will reign forever and ever. What a beautiful picture we have of a river flowing pure and crystal clear. Out of the throne of God, solid, eternal, faithful, and true. So let me draw this all to a close, remembering two passages. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I also want to go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to please God, you want to build your faith, get into the word of God. And diligently seek him. Amen. Will you join me in 2025 in pleasing God by placing more faith in the pillar of forever than we do in that pillar? And let us diligently seek him for 2025. And if you're here today and you've never placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, never placed your faith in his shed blood on the cross of Calvary, ask yourself, are you one of the few on that narrow way? And if you cannot answer truthfully that you are one of the few, don't leave here today until you are. Come and see me. There's many in this room, I look around, that would be glad to open the scriptures and show you how Jesus Christ can open that straight gate and place you on the narrow way. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the word you have given me to share today. My desire, Lord, is to please you. My desire, Lord, is to see many more placed on that narrow way. Yes, Lord, you have us here to share the gospel, present the true gospel, the living word. Let us place our hope and our trust in your pillar of forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and sing together.
Jesus' blood and
On now? Okay. For the benediction today, I chose a verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. And this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. And he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, and in the same judgment." God bless. Thank you.